The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and NFL.com/Sheck. I had a little trouble spitting that out there. I've only said it 350-ish some times, I guess. No reason to hold myself to such a high standard. Hey, March Madness is underway if you haven't heard about it. I'll be honest with you. I love to talk about any and all sports, even though we are hosted on NFL.com. I still like to veer into the other ones. You know, there's a whole world out there. I like to talk about the greatest game of all, the game called life. I'm not going to jive you, though. This is the least I've ever known about college hoops. I filled out my bracket on Wednesday night, and really, I mean, it's embarrassing that I work in sports, and Oklahoma's a 3 seed? I had no idea. What a revelation. I couldn't tell you anybody. I guess this is the way most people go through lives, not terribly well informed about sports, and now I know what it feels like, and it doesn't feel very good. I know one guy who doesn't care about the March Madness tournament. He's seated to my immediate left. Let's talk about that. And more importantly, pro football. He's our Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you.
Are you? Do you care at all about this? This is a national holiday in America.
I realize that, but you're absolutely right. I'm glad we're not going to talk about it. The word hoops feels very foreign in my mouth, so I'm going to call it basketball. Hoops. College hoops. You haven't got the horses here to talk anything about the, unless you want to talk to yourself, which I realize you probably do.
Well, you know, we can go in different directions. If we had a proper producer, this is what the producer does.
Right.
Is he connects the dots with what's happening in the world at large and connects it back to our world of pro football. So I'm just going to turn it over to the man behind the glass, Black Tie. I'm sure he has something cooked up in this regard. Lay it on us, man.
What's going on? Yes, I actually cannot talk March Madness with you because I didn't even fill out a bracket this year. That's how out of touch I am.
Me too.
However, just being in touch with the
world. I used to love it, though. I mean, Selection Sunday. I said this about free agency a couple weeks ago. I feel like at least in 2015, it has trumped the Selection Sunday show where they tell you how everybody has seeded out in the tournament this year. And, I don't know much about college basketball.
Hoops. Let's call it hoops.
Hoops. I'm not up to speed on exactly what's going on with it, but yeah, I feel like my spirit for it isn't that great, and yet it was some of the great days are spent skipping out on work so you can go to a bar and watch the
tournament. Right, and that bit does sound cool.
Let's do it now, even if you don't care.
By the way, you had a conversation with Ross Tucker, who has the Ross Tucker Football Program at Ross Tucker NFL, I believe, and it was a great conversation. But you mentioned in there that the draft is the number one non-sports day, and
yes.
Now, in your opinion, free agency second. I'm going to take issue. I think free agency is number one. I'll tell you why.
No, not forever. Just because of the splash of 2 weeks ago?
No. I mean, I've always thought that way because I think more people are informed about the current players in the NFL than they are about the draft prospects. No matter how much the likes of the great Daniel Jeremiah or other people try to educate you about it before, at least you have a pretty well-formed opinion if you're an NFL fan of, you know, all the guys who are in free agency. And so you can get much more excited about your team signing whoever. And I think probably maybe not for you because you're a Steelers fan and they just don't really participate in that part of the season.
Not even this year.
No, I know.
D'Angelo Williams.
Ever.
That's it.
They're
just not
interested in playing that game. But I think free agency, people are able to dive into more because they already know. I know who Ndamukong Suh is and I know what he can do for my team. You know, that's a...
It's funny you say that because it used to be... I would sit and watch, and I would, growing up, I would watch USFL football. I would watch anything. Mm-hmm. I loved watching football.
I've even
period.
Been to an arena football game.
Oh,
I
have as
been
well.
To one.
Yeah.
I fell asleep, and I'm not kidding. In a crowd, let's say there were 8,000 people there, I fell asleep during the game.
The only game, well, that's sad. I, you know, and then on the other side of things, so you're an Englishman sitting at in an American arena watching pro football. I went to see major indoor soccer league, right, the Pittsburgh Spirit.
The MILFs.
Yes. We had Paul Child, who was quite good, and we also had Stan Terlecki.
I've never heard of either of them.
And the ball would fly up. It was a fluorescent soccer ball.
Right.
It was terrible. But
you had a good time?
No, it was boring. I couldn't have cared less about it.
I assume so.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's Spirit. What kind of name is that for a football
Spirit team?
Lame. So, all right. Oh, I should mention on NFL.com right now, as promised on our
you
first
do
podcast.
You asked a question of how.
I know, but I want to, let me just say, up on NFL.com right now, we're in the middle of March here, and I decided this is a good time to recklessly speculate about exactly how the 2015 NFL season's going to go down. It's there for your perusal now. Some of the stuff in there includes, I'll just let you know, that the Denver Broncos aren't going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And like we talked about the other day, the virtue for the Saints of trading Drew Brees, or at least those two first-round picks, and trying to get Marcus Mariota to see if they can pull something off with the Jets. Anyway, so you can look for all that. It's all up there. There are a bunch of other wild, swinging, flailing predictions there for you.
Was it okay you being taken out of your comfort zone? Normally you're very methodical. You like to put a lot of investigative journalism.
I like to double source everything.
Right.
But I thought today I'm going to let my hair down.
Okay, cool. I can't wait to see how it turned out.
We also have started up a new tournament. Well, is that what you're going to jump into here, Black Tie?
That was. Yes, so this is how we're connecting to the rest of the world.
All right, lay it on us.
DDFP Bracketology, and you can go ahead. You can tell the people what it is.
Well, as mentioned at the end of the podcast the other day, where everybody's doing their brackets now, including the NFL. NFL.com right now has the greatest game of all time bracket going on right now. How is that shaking out so far?
It's doing great. It's exciting. We're round one, the first week of the tourney.
We should really look at these games. Let me take a look at
them. Don't do it now, because we're going to plan a special podcast coming up pretty soon where we're just going to focus.
We need Elliot Harrison in the room, really.
Elliot Harrison, who joined us the other day, and I kibitzed after the show. We agreed, let's do a thing, because we're here in Studio 66, Maximum Strength. We have the ability with the flat screen here behind us to take a look at any and all of those games. So we'll just sit here. We'll look at the games. You're welcome to join
Can
us,
I?
Handsome. Please.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it'd be terrific.
It'd be an honor.
What we have, though, it's the greatest game of all time. Like you say, it's the first round. 32.
It's going to close tomorrow. So today's Thursday. If you're listening and it's not Thursday, then it was yesterday. But it's going to close on Friday.
All right.
The first round.
And you have Super Bowl 13 in there. Is that going to advance?
That is right now. In fact, you know what? I have the current vote totals in front of me. Super Bowl 13 is doing pretty well.
I'm looking through the different games here. You have four regions, dynasty makers. These are all the Niners win in 1981 in the title game over the Cowboys.
That really launched that dynasty.
Right. And then you have individual heroics, the 2009 NFC wild card game. Why was that one?
Remember Marshawn Lynch's, big run.
Oh, that's that game there.
That's right.
You have John Elway, the drive, mm-hmm. 1986 AFC title game. You have crazy ending games, and then you have great from the get-go.
That was really just like we ran out of categories. I'm going to be honest with you. We ran out of categories and just put that as a fourth category.
This list looks fascinating, and I am going to go through it more thoroughly, and we'll do so with Elliot Harrison. But I don't mind telling you, I see a lot of the Dallas Cowboys stars showing up on there. I have a feeling Elliot Harrison had something to do with it.
They've been in a few good games.
But Black Tie has a list, has his own
bracket here. Yeah, what
are you going
to do for Black Tie?
The greatest movie, if you've joined us in the past here, you know that Black Tie considers himself a cinephile, which is ironic since he has seen 7 movies total in his entire lifetime. And so we have a list. The greatest movie Black Tie has never seen.
It's not a list. It's a tournament.
I mean, it's a tournament, and the Czech Republic was good enough to throw out some movie titles for us, and we've fleshed out how many teams
We have 16 teams in different regions, which we could name. We could name, like, a Tom Cruise region, you know.
Yeah, Black Tie, that's one of his rules. He doesn't see Tom Cruise movies.
Sports movies region, so we could do, like, a Hoosiers region.
There isn't a sports movie.
He doesn't like space movies.
No, that's not true. Depends.
Is there a sports movie in here? I don't see one.
No, there isn't. I'm saying we can have, like, regions. Well, that, like, the regions are random. But Tom Cruise, Hoosiers region, all that stuff.
So, for instance, so I'll just fire through these real fast.
The one seed.
One matchup is the one seed, Shawshank Redemption, going up against Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
These are two movies you've never seen, correct?
These are all movies I've never seen, yes.
All of these.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Well, go through the one seeds first. Go through the one seeds.
That's always Why don't you do it then if I'm not doing it right?
All right, let's do it. So the one seed, Shawshank Redemption, which I really should have seen, but I didn't.
Yeah, that's true the point. You should have seen every
that's
one
true of
these.
All of these. If that's going to be your analysis, you might as well stop now.
I should have seen that one.
Star Wars Episode 4, which I don't want to
That's not how, by the way, the right way you've written it here, is that says Episode 5.
Yes.
Oh.
Your Roman numeral.
It's off. Well, I don't know. Whichever one is Empire Strikes Back, I don't.
Okay, that is Episode
5. I mean, really, by the way, you should have Annie Hall on here. I don't see that.
No, I mean, not every movie can make the dance.
But that movie won the Academy Award. That's a great movie that you haven't seen.
The two other one seeds.
How about Casablanca?
The Godfather. That almost made it.
By the way, talking about the Academy Awards, have you ever seen The Godfather got an Oscar? And have you ever seen Roger Moore presented the Oscar for the Godfather? Or I think it's for Best Actor.
Oh, yeah. When Brando?
Yes. Yes.
And he sends the Native American woman.
It's one of them. Everything about it, from the fact that it's Roger Moore and he's being, like, there's no more Roger Moore moment than that moment where he's presenting that award. And then what follows is fantastic. Google it. If you're listening and you haven't heard that and you like Roger Moore, the whole thing's terrific.
Oh, yeah. Marvelous, marvelous stuff. Black Tie, I don't like seeing The Godfather on this list, and I think you know why.
Well, yeah.
What did I give you at Christmas time?
You gave me the set, The Godfather set. I haven't had time, man. Been busy.
You haven't had, in the last 2.5 months, you haven't found 3 free hours to watch one of the all-time greatest
working
movies.
On these shows.
I presume that then you haven't watched any movies in that time, but you probably have. You probably watched, like, in fact, the whatever it's called, the Shades of Grey.
I did see that.
So you managed to spend time seeing that.
A
but
theater
yet
experience
not...
is totally different from, like, a home watching experience, you know?
Have you ever seen Roadhouse?
No, I don't watch. Is that Tarantino?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
You haven't seen Roadhouse? Is that Tarantino? I don't watch.
That's Patrick Swayze.
He was about to caveat that with "I don't watch," but he didn't know what he didn't watch.
Roadhouse is.
I was thinking about Grindhouse, I think.
Patrick Swayze. Uh-huh. He goes to the small town. He's the best cooler in the business.
No,
have you seen Karate Kid?
Yes, I've seen Karate Kid. Come on,
but he's seen the update with Will
Smith's
son.
Forrest Gump is the
Forrest
other,
Gump. He's never seen
other number one.
How could a man of your age have never come across Forrest Gump?
I did that come across weird. It. I just didn't watch it.
And what's the reason behind that one? Why wouldn't you
recall.
Watch Forrest
I think
Gump?
I just went outside to play some soccer instead. You see, I don't know. I don't recall.
I know, but again, you understand that you're the one who holds yourself up as a guy who loves to watch movies. This is one of his great passions in life.
I don't even think of myself as a movie buff or anyone who's like, you know, seen a lot of movies.
Hank's seen a ton of these.
It's not like Handsome doesn't sit here and announce, hey, I love nothing more than March Madness. Let's talk about it. And then when we attempt to talk about it, can't say anything because he has no information about it. You position yourself as a person who loves the movies.
Well,
never seen Forrest Gump? I mean, who hasn't seen Forrest Gump? What living human being under the age of 80 hasn't come across that one at some point?
It appeals to every single age group.
You haven't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, that I don't even want to see.
Based on what?
Too hokey. Not my style.
But you've never seen it. How do you know if it's hokey or not?
Not my style.
I mean, I don't understand the argument that it's not your style. If you've never seen it, how would you know if it's your style?
I'll tell you the movies I'm most embarrassed of not seeing. Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yep. Really all of them.
Memento, which is a three-seed.
Memento is a weird one to be on this
list. I'm a big
list.
Nolan fan, and I haven't seen that, so that's why I feel bad for that.
Right.
Pulp Fiction. I'm not a Tarantino guy, but that's a movie I do really want to see.
All right, if you haven't seen Reservoir Dogs or Pulp Fiction, How can you know if you are or are not a Tarantino guy?
His
Those are his two
his
movies.
Style is Shock and Violence style. And
what have you seen by him?
How do you know that that's his style? You haven't seen those two movies.
Because, like you said, I'm a movie guy. I stay.
What have you seen? But what have you seen by him that informs you that you don't like
to
watch?
I'm about to tell you right now. Right.
Hasn't seen Top Gun. Hasn't seen Alien. Did you see Aliens?
No, I didn't see Glass Bastards. I haven't seen an Alien movie. I saw Kill Bill. I saw that.
Did you see Jurassic Park?
I did see that.
Okay. Cool. He definitely saw Jurassic Park.
Yeah, come on.
Definitely.
No Top Gun. No Fight Club.
I saw Desperado. I actually like Desperado.
No Goodfellas.
No Goodfellas.
Why is Goodfellas, in what world would that be a 3 seed, same level as Memento? This is the most asinine bracket I've ever seen, and I love it. I bottom line is, where can anybody check this out?
Well, we're going to tweet it out and put it out there so people can...
Oh, you're going to tweet it?
Yeah.
All right.
Can you guess the one movie on this?
And what do
I
you get
seen?
For doing... I don't understand. How do you win this?
I'm not winning. It's whoever wins.
Do we then vote the movies you haven't seen, like, by what's
Handsome
a better
and
movie?
I,
or
yeah,
what?
Handsome and I will determine.
In a way, exactly. what we should do is then you have to promise, whatever wins, you have to promise to watch that day. However we work this out,
that's
you
fun.
Have to promise that whatever wins, you watch that day, and then we work backwards. 2 days later, you watch the one that came second. 3 days later, you watch
Love
the
it.
One came third.
I'll commit to this.
The final four, you have to see all four days in a row, and then you have to come back on this show and do a review of all of them. I don't even want you to argue here, because you're going to be like, I don't know, man. No. Do it.
I'll commit to this. I'll watch the final four. Because there's always something special.
4 days in a row,
four.
1, 2, 3, 4. 4 days in a row, you'll find
so busy, so
8 hours of
busy.
Your time to watch those things. 2 hours of time.
I commit to this. This is a done deal.
Okay.
All right. Handsome.
I'll join in.
Boy, we are really, even by our off-season standards, pretty rudderless here. We're positioned in between free agency and the draft. I'm more than happy to do this. Couple of shout-outs about Black Tie. If you aren't familiar, used to do shout-outs to just random people, not people who he actually knows, but, you know, certain occupations that he feels are worthy of a shout-out or otherwise. I would like to give a shout-out to one Mo Damashek, my mother.
Oh.
30 years ago, this is the 30-year anniversary of her doing this. One day, someone from the principal's office at school came into the classroom and said, Dave, your mom's here. And I didn't know what that, you know, was something wrong?
Your heart must have sunk.
Oh, no, your mom's here to pick you up. Pick me up? It's noon. What do you mean, pick me up? I went. There was Mo Damashek waiting for me. She said, let's go. We left, got in the car, went home so I could watch the first round of the NCAA tournament. Pitt, Louisiana Tech. That's a mother for you.
That's terrific.
That's the way a mother behaves herself.
Can
I tell you something?
Yes.
That, really, I wonder, without making too big a deal of it.
How old were you at this age? Sorry,
It's 1985, so I'm not driving age. Obviously, I don't have a car or anything.
No, well, just tell me how many years old you
14.
Were. Okay.
But I wondered then, I was thinking about it this morning. Do you suppose that made it okay for me to try and do sports for a living? Or is that a stretch? Growing up in a house where sports were the thing.
I'm sure it played a pretty big part.
My old man was also the Pitt. You know, worked with Pitt football and the Penguins, and so I was around sports already. But then when it was okay, I think that took it to another level. Yeah, it's okay to skip out on school.
It's more important than school.
I mean, priorities after
all. That's the message that's been sent, is this is more important than school.
We also, my best friend, David Gefsky, it was his bar mitzvah on a autumn Saturday. And my old man and I didn't attend the bar mitzvah because Pitt was playing West Virginia in football.
That
it was a big
rival,
backyard brawl. You know,
yep.
Hey, listen, I know this is your bar mitzvah, but you know, Pitt and West Virginia only play once a year, man.
Exactly.
And we were rewarded by West Virginia, if I remember correctly, whipping Pitt 28-7 or something like that. Anyway, so Handsome, real quick. Jim Irsay, the owners are getting together.
Well, hang on a second. We're going to talk about pro football now.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
There have been some proposed rules changes. It's the time of the year to do that. Real quick, because you pore over these things. Explain to me what Jim Irsay exactly proposed.
I think what he's saying is, So right now, you can obviously, you can score, you get 6 points, you score a touchdown, you can then kick an extra point, which is, you know, people have debated whether that's too easy for people to do, or you can get a two-point conversion. What he's suggesting is that that all remain the same, but then if you get a two-point conversion, you can then get an extra point after a two-point conversion by kicking, I think his rule is, a 50-yard field goal.
To
which,
what end?
For 1 point.
To what end? Why would that happen?
I'm not absolutely sure.
That makes, I mean, that is a fever dream of an idea.
Right.
Not a good one. I don't mean that as a good idea. And it makes me feel more comfortable in suggesting some of my long-standing rules changes.
I feel like yours, sport. If that's out there, then some of your stuff is.
Well, I don't like the field. I think field goals are too easy to make. Mm-hmm. And the first idea I have is turn it into a rectangle. Put the bar across the top there and make it more difficult for the guy. Because then even the extra points wouldn't be such a gimme to those guys because they couldn't kick it too high. They couldn't elevate it to get over the line.
I think that sounds a bit stupid. Here's my idea.
Why? Why is that stupid? That raises the standard for them.
You can't punish someone for kicking the ball too high.
Also, Adam Carolla, who deserves credit, it should be called
the
Carolla rule. I forget what they call it, though. Who do they give credit to? They call it like the Ravens rule or the Patriots rule or whatever.
What, for the taller goalpost?
Yeah, the post.
Almost impersonating my accent by mistake. yes, the taller.
Why don't they extend those goalposts up there? He used to say Carolla on and on to the point of it really becoming desperately annoying. But then they did do it, so kudos to him. But really, there still is some guesswork for the officials. Not if you put that bar across the top, though. Through that hole.
Here's what they do in rugby. Here's an idea for everyone. Wherever the touchdown scored, they have to take the kick from in line with there. So if you score a fade in the back corner of the end zone, you're going to have to kick that extra point from right on the sideline there.
I like that.
And then you've got to get the angle right. Then you'd have to take it further back anyway.
Bear with me, longtime listener, but I'm going to say this one again. You can keep playing the Pro Bowl if you want to. That's fine. But what should happen in between, maybe it's wild card weekend, maybe it's the Monday or Tuesday after the wild card round or after the divisional round or maybe the Thursday before the divisional round playoffs, you get the two worst teams to play each other. The winner gets the first overall draft pick. And you play it on a burnt-out field, and you get a terrible marching band, and you get a sponsor like Weight Watchers and call it the Loser Bowl. I think it would be – I mean, who wouldn't watch – who would it be this year? Who would be in this game? It would be the Tennessee Titans.
Titans and the Bucks.
And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it would be positively fascinating, hypnotizing to watch these two bad teams. And then people say, well, what incentive would Mike Glennon have to try in this one? Because then he would basically, if they win, he gives them the right to take Jameis Winston, who would serve as Mike Glennon's replacement. Part of the strategy that you have to figure out there. Bill Belichick knew, hey, the Seahawks like to run the ball. We better do something to stop Marshawn Lynch. That's in-game coaching strategy. You have to figure out how to meet the demands of this particular game. That's what would happen with this one. Do I dare start my incoming quarterback knowing that he probably is incented for us to lose this game? Anyway, that's a good one. Handsome, do you have a rules change?
No, I just suggested one.
Yeah, that's true.
Just
black tie?
You talked.
Yes, I got one.
It better not. You know what sport it better not relate to, because you're not allowed to talk about that when you're on.
Careful with that.
That's a tough one. I'm against kneel downs. Just get rid of that.
Why?
It's a such anticlimactic way to
end
the game.
No. We talked recently about the most embarrassing play in sports to have happened to you. I contend that getting posterized in basketball is way overrated as a humiliation.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
If you are the defender and you're playing the weak side, and so the defender checking the ball gets beaten on out on the wing, and the guy is closing hard at the rim, so you step over and try and block his shot as he gets to the rim and he dunks on you, that's not a humiliation to you. I don't know why. I mean, it's considered one, but I don't
different conversation.
I think there are much worse things that can happen to you, like Earl Thomas, the hard-hitting safety, getting shoved to the ground with a forearm by Cam Newton in the playoff game a couple of months, about 6-8 weeks ago.
Well, again, I'm still going with kneel downs and just removing that from the game and removing, like, the last 2 minutes of a game where a team is just basically going one-yard runs because they want to kick a field goal. That's still anticlimactic.
It's but like, what, how do you remove that?
I don't know.
You
it's
can't
like,
run it.
It's like draining the clock in basketball because, you know, the team with the ball knows they're going to shoot a free throw just with 1 second left.
Well, no, let me say to you, Black Tie, that is not accurate. There are great moments. You know what this speaks to, Black Tie? That you don't have a deep down. I know you recently announced your allegiance to the Seattle Seahawks, which is shameful.
Oh, by the way, I was on a Seahawkers podcast.
I know. But the Seahawks.
What?
You also.
Check it out. Seahawkers podcast.
No, no. He's a recurring guest now on the Seahawkers podcast.
Check it out,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, Black
congratulations.
Well, he announced. Seahawkers. Were you here when he announced that he is
their
now
producer
officially
is the
a
only. Their producer is the only producer in podcast history worse than Black Tie. If that's all he could book.
Are you aware, though?
I'm sorry. I apologize if you're
he
listening.
He recently announced his allegiance. He is now a 12 Black Tie.
I heard.
Are you aware of that?
Yes, yeah. I ignored it because he won't be.
Where's the dignity? How do you embrace a team that just played in the last two Super Bowls?
Like I said. Like, this was a relationship that was forged in hardship, not good times. The moment I realized and couldn't deny it anymore was when Malcolm Butler made that play.
All right, well, let's see what happens in 2015 and going forward, because there is – what is, to you, Handsome, the most satisfying as a fan of a team? Trying to think. I've given this some thought in the past here. What's the most satisfying thing when you are in the stands or even if you're watching on TV, your team is winning – to finish a game? That comes down to, for me, do you want your closer out there shutting it down, mowing down, 1, 2, 3? Is that the most satisfying conclusion to a game in which your team leads? Is it Black Tie's much hated kneel down? I love the victory formation. That, yeah, I know it's exciting for your team to win on a last second touchdown or whatever, but I find it, I find the triumph. So to have that last 30 seconds when they're on the field, one more snap, and you see the deep
they're
guy behind the QB.
They're all high-fiving each other, and everyone's, like, shaking hands.
Make it the last 30 seconds, then.
I love that. But the best of them all, when you have a one-goal lead in hockey, and the other team pulls the goalie, and they're feverishly trying to score to even things up, and your guy gets it, and he flips it down the ice, empty net goal to finish things off. That's number one. I think maybe, though, I don't know, maybe the kneel down is still number one. Then being at the free throw line to close it out is fine, I guess. Hey, let's say hello to the fantasy editor, although he told me recently that's not his title.
Editor is no longer the title.
What is it now? Here he is, everybody, from NFL Fantasy Live. I praise him every chance I get because while the other fantasy gurus around the land take off a few months every year, this guy keeps on burning. 365, the subject, fantasy football. Michael Fabiano, what's the poop, fella?
How are you, my friend?
I'm fine.
Good
I'm
to
fine.
See you. I'm just trying to get used to the Grizzly Adams look still.
Well, I just mentioned I trimmed it down a little bit.
You noticed that Dave today is wearing, he's got his beard, he's wearing a black shirt, and he has beard dandruff on his shirt.
Is that right?
Is that really true?
Around here, what is that?
Well, I shaved it down a little bit. Maybe it's some
might
some
be some
loose
it might
hairs.
Be some whiskers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Either that or he was eating Cheetos earlier. That could be it.
All of the above, maybe. Fabiano, what's the poop with you? How's free agency treated
it
you
was awesome.
In the war? Yeah, it was fun, huh?
I mean, it's the best time of the year that's not
See?
The regular season. I love it.
Hey, Dave
I
thinks
love
the draft.
It.
Dave thinks the draft is
no,
still better
this
than.
Is
well,
so much
you know,
better.
I'm listen, not to be hokey, but I still love the moment when you watch, even though they know it's coming and they've been preparing for it, not just for a couple weeks or even a few months, but for almost their entire lives, they know it's coming, and yet the moment when you watch a guy get a phone call and become a millionaire, it's fun.
It's cool.
But
yeah,
see,
I agree with
it
that.
It doesn't have that wow factor
yes,
to it.
Yes, it does! What do you mean it doesn't have
I
a wow?
I was sitting at home watching NFL Network, and then LeSean McCoy traded the Bills. Whoa! Jimmy Graham traded for the Seahawks. Oh, my God!
That's what put
I mean?
It over. That's the one that put it over.
I don't
the Jimmy
see
Graham
that.
Nobody.
I don't see that in the draft as much.
Because you already have, this is what I was just saying earlier on, you already have an opinion of Jimmy. You know who Jimmy Graham
right,
is, and
right,
you know
right.
what that means and how that's going to change a team. When a prospect gets drafted by a team, it's cool, and for all the reasons that Dave said, and a lot of others as well. Like, everyone's back to you know, no one has a winning record, and who, anything could happen at this point. But you're like, okay, cool, they've got that offensive lineman. I don't know whether that makes us better or not.
But this offseason was better than I think any other that I can remember, because the Eagles just by themselves were making moves that everyone was talking about and criticizing or praising, whichever side of the fence you were on. It was a great week. It was the most fun week in an offseason that I can remember.
Listen, free agency 2015 will go down in history. You awesome. Know, there were trades, which you rarely see in the NFL. That was great. Some big names moving here and there. And by the way, we sort of touched on it the other day. And along the lines of what's on NFL.com with my reckless speculation, one of the things I say, I think the Broncos aren't going to make the playoffs. I think the Saints might trade Drew Brees, and even if they don't, Drew Brees is in the last stages of his career. And Tom Brady, by the end of last September, a lot of people were already burying, and of course he's the reigning champ. But that doesn't change the fact all those guys are about to move on. That's going to be a really this is going to be the culmination of an era that we really haven't been through in 15 years, when Elway, Marino, and right, Aikman and Young all went down at about within a span of, what, 2-3 years.
That's right. And that was a weird time as well, because then there were just not, you know, Brett Favre was basically the star of the NFL and the best quarterback there, and there really wasn't anyone else around for a while.
And I remember when you had put up, I think it may have been a shame or one of your podcasts, about how there aren't 32 people in the world who can play the quarterback position well enough. And if you lose those guys,
yeah,
I mean, that you don't have that next generation of quarterbacks outside of Andrew Luck, who's proven anything at the next level yet.
Well, yeah, and Russell Wilson, but I mean, for sure, the list is very slight at when you look at it right now. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Iron Five QBs, as I've always held them up? I know Roethlisberger, from a fantasy perspective, isn't that, so let's kick him out of the group.
Okay.
But Rodgers, Brady, Peyton, Brees. Brady is the fourth out of that from a fantasy perspective. But who is sneaking in there? I know we've talked about Andrew Luck and Rodgers neck and neck in fantasy terms for you.
Right.
But how far down are you moving Peyton and Brees and Brady this year?
I actually moved Peyton up ahead of Brees in my recent rankings.
Ooh, what an indictment of Brees.
Russell Wilson at number three, because he now has Jimmy Graham. And look at it this way. He had over 800 rushing yards last year, and that's a big reason why he was third in fantasy points among all players. So if you maybe project him for a 200-yard decline as a runner, you can get those 20 fantasy points back with passes to Jimmy Graham, because
hey,
he only had 20.
And I throw a sexy deep ball.
He only had 20 touchdown passes last year. I think it's within the realm of possibility that he adds five to that now that he has Jimmy Graham on board with all the same wide receivers that he had from a year ago. So he's up to three, and in part because he can run with the football. Brees is five right now. Peyton's four. I don't love either one of them. I just did my top 100. I mean, these guys aren't even...
Peyton is your fifth QB. There's really nothing better out of...
Who? I mean, honestly, I'd still rather have Peyton than Brady. I'd still rather have Brees than Brady. But then you're looking at Cam Newton. You're looking at Tony Romo. You're looking at Matt Ryan. I mean, who am I missing?
I think I would have all.
I think I would take Romo over.
I would take all three of the names you just said over Peyton or Brady.
I can't do it. No, I can't do it. They all outscored Romo, Ryan, Stafford last season. Peyton had a dreadful last 4 weeks of the season, and don't a lot of fantasy owners know it because they cost him a chance to win a championship. But I still see good weapons around him. Whereas with Brees,
well, I'll tell you what.
Brandon Cooks, and you've got Marcus Colston, and you got
I don't like
else?
Brees either. I mean, that's why I keep...
But I'd rather have Peyton because he's still got the weapons around him, whereas Brees lost two of his big weapons, including his biggest weapon. And it looks like the Saints are going to more of a ball control balanced offense because they added Unger in that trade. They added Spiller, and they re-signed Ingram. So I'm just putting the dots together.
And I assume you still have Gronk as your number one tight end and Jimmy Graham is your number two still?
Right, but Gronkowski is going to end up going in the first round or second round at the very latest. I moved Graham down to the fourth or fifth. I'd probably guess the fourth round because I don't think his ceiling is as high in Seattle. When you look at a team in New Orleans Saints last year that threw the ball over 650 times, the second most times in the entire league, and then you go to the Seattle Seahawks, who threw it the fewest amount of times, fewer than 440 times. There's opportunities there that are going to be missed. There's Marshawn Lynch that is there in Seattle, run-based offense that has helped them get to the Super Bowl in two consecutive years. That's not going to change. So if you look at what Graham did last year, just fewer than 900 yards and 10 touchdowns, good year, right, for most tight ends, excellent year for most tight ends.
That not when you spent what I spent on him in my auction.
Same thing with me. That is
he
what
was a killer.
That
for
I think
team.
Is about what you're going to get from Graham.
Well, real. One more thing on the QBs. I said this to you the last time you were in here, maybe 6-8 weeks ago. I say it to you again now. More than ever, you and I have gone back and forth on this the quarterback thing. I think this year, going back to Breeze and Peyton and Tom Brady and dicey propositions, it feels like going into the season. Mm-hmm. Rodgers and Luck are both worthy of a first round pick this year because if you have those one of those two guys versus anybody else, that's going to be a 10 or more point difference for you.
Same thing with Gronkowski. Now, you know me, I'm not going to change my philosophy because I feel like America in the world is going to pick up on this year more than any other year because Breeze, he had six games where he didn't score 16 fantasy points last year, six games. Peyton was dreadful in the last 4 weeks of the season. Tom Brady's going to be, 38 years old, 37 years old, so he's not getting any younger. If you don't get Rodgers or you don't get Luck, you wait on a quarterback. If you don't get Gronkowski, you wait on a tight end. You have to. The running back position is really, really thin once you get past the first 10 guys.
I think it's
and
about
even at the end of the 10, you're looking at risk.
I know, but it's about to open back up, though, because you're going to have Gurley and Melvin Gordon.
Let's hope
playing.
They go to places where they are featured backs.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's hope so.
Let's talk Shady McCoy, though. Where do you have him? How did this affect his standing among running backs?
It didn't affect him greatly because he's still going to be a featured back.
Right.
He goes from a system that is conducive to running backs putting up good numbers to Buffalo where the offensive line is shaky, but Rex Ryan loves to run the football. I think it was in 5 years as the Jets head coach, the Jets were in the top six in rushing attempts four times. And if you listen to NFL Network the week of free agency frenzy, LaDainian Tomlinson interviewed McCoy, and McCoy said, I'm guaranteed to see 25 touches a game. That equals 400 touches for the year. Sign me up, okay? Also, remember, Thomas Jones, he was a great, and I can use the word great fantasy running back for a few years playing with Rex Ryan. Yes, the offensive line was better, but it wasn't like he had a great quarterback there, and defenses couldn't stack the line of scrimmage against guys like Vinny Testaverde, right? So I really like McCoy. I think this is a good move. And when you also think about what happened last season, I'm not saying he was getting phased out of the offense, but he was getting phased out of certain aspects of the offense. He only had 28 catches last year. He only had 5 touchdowns. Chris Polk, of all people, was stealing goal line work from him. That's not going to happen in Buffalo.
I know. Well, now let's talk about that. That's a good place to move into the Eagles now. DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles. Do any of them have value? None of them are number ones anymore.
No, and I've done a lot of the math on this, and 392 carries for Murray last year, 449 touches for the season, averaged about 0.65 fantasy points per touch. That got him to just under 300 fantasy points. If you do the math, considering Matthews will see 150 to 175 touches, right? Sproles is going to see probably around 80 touches. You're looking at him seeing a decline of 100 or more touches in a season, and if you tack on what he did from a point-per-touch perspective, you're looking at maybe 100 fewer fantasy points. And a second-round guy who might fall into the same trend of running backs who have carried the ball 390 times and absolutely broken down the next season.
Well, to me, the strategy then is if you look at any of those Eagles running backs, you better get all three.
Right.
If you get all three of those guys, I could see that's the sort of offense I could see starting two Eagle running backs every week.
You know what I can see? Handsome Hank, God love him, who is in his office every week during the football season yelling and cheering for the Dolphins, and we all hear you in the newsroom, even though your office is way in the back. Handsome Hank.
Holy hoops.
Handsome Hank has DeMarco Murray on his fantasy team. I could see it. Murray runs the football on five or six consecutive series. The Eagles get inside the 10-yard line, and in comes Ryan Matthews. And Handsome Hank says, what in the heck are they doing there, right? He goes crazy. That's going to be an issue for fantasy fans because it's going to happen both ways. Maybe Matthews comes in, sees some of the work, and then they bring in Murray. It's going to be a massive headache. You can't draft him in the first round. He's an RB2, Murray I'm talking about, and he's an RB2 that you almost have to try and get Matthews to handcuff him because that trend, guys, is no joke. Look at the number of running backs who've had 390 or more carries in a single season. Every single one of them sees a decline, almost every single one of them. And if you go back to the Super Bowl era, you're talking about Eric Dickerson being the one guy who had a really good year after a 390 campaign. He had about 90% of his production. Then we talked about this last time. James Wilder, Gerald Riggs were about 70%, and then they fell off a cliff.
I want to be on record. I had, before Chip Kelly thought of putting those two guys in his backfield, I put them both on my fantasy team last year. I had Mario Matthews.
And?
And they was fine.
And remember, too,
but that wasn't
a feast
real.
And a famine.
Yeah, that
remember
wasn't
that.
Real.
That move also deteriorated the running back position even further because instead of having Murray in Dallas, where he's a first-round pick and a featured back, and Matthews in Philadelphia, where all of a sudden he's got a lot of upside in that offense, you basically knocked them both down. And Matthews got knocked down significantly. So now you're talking about moving Jeremy Hill up. You're talking about C.J. Anderson. You're talking about Lamar Miller.
Jeremy
so who is so give us those quick hit style. Who has improved his stock or what the situation has now improved around a guy and now you're
at running back or overall?
Wherever.
Well, Russell Wilson's value goes up because he has Jimmy Graham, right? You're looking at and to be honest with you, I wrote a winners and losers column on here and a lot of the winners are on their same teams, like Alshon Jeffrey and Russell Wilson and Carlos Hyde. Because when you look at the moves, Jeremy Maclin goes to Kansas City. That hurts his value. Graham goes to Seattle. That hurts his value. Gore, I think his value will basically remain the same. There's more losers out of this free agency frenzy from a fantasy standpoint than there are winners. And that's going to ultimately devalue some of these positions, like running back. You're going to have to focus on it early. The tight end position is lousy right now. Julius Thomas in Jacksonville? No, thank you. I'm good there. You know?
You're absolutely
I'm
right.
Good.
After Gronkowski, but the problem with the tight end spot, even your number one, Gronkowski, he gets through last year clean, but he's an injury
There's
risk,
still some
course.
Risk, right. Graham goes to Seattle. Now you're looking at Greg Olsen as the third best tight end in fantasy.
Greg Olsen
Travis
is the third
Kelsey?
Best tight end?
Think about it. 1,000-yard guy last year, and he's been pretty consistent. Travis Kelce is up there now, really unproven. He was inconsistent last
Dwayne
year.
Allen?
Dwayne Allen, you're looking at him like right on the cusp of being a number one, number two. Owen Daniels, Dave. He goes to a situation in Denver where he's had the best quarterback he's ever had in his career, playing in an offense under Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison that he knows because he's been with those guys forever between Houston and Baltimore. Now he sneaks into the top 10 conversation, and he's, I think, 33 years old.
Owen Daniels probably feels good because Peyton Manning's one of the few guys in the NFL Owen Daniels could beat in a foot race. At
It could be. That's right.
Hey, Fabiana, which movie surprises you the most that Black Tie hasn't seen? Goodfellas? Fight Club?
What? Wait. Goodfellas? Well, I'm Italian. I'm going to say that.
Black Tie hasn't seen Pulp Fiction. What stuns you the most? Star
Are you
Wars?
Me?
He's never seen Star Wars.
Shawshank Redemption.
Wait, the original Star Wars?
Braveheart. He hasn't seen Braveheart. How is it that you don't, you know, it's just one of those things that you can't help but come across. If I didn't want to see these movies, I still would have had to have seen
Raiders
them because I have a TV.
Lost Ark?
Yeah, I know.
That I don't want to see. I don't want
to see. Buckeye, what do you do? What do you do in your
Guess what? If it's one of the final four, you're going to have to see it. Yes. So like, don't start making absolutes right now.
I mean, there's a couple of them on here I can see, but I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, like 2001, A Space Odyssey. I don't think a lot of people under
Reservoir
the age of 30
Dogs,
have probably seen
it. I mean, I've seen it, but I could see people not seeing that.
Not really.
Alien? Well, I mean, when you're looking at some of these big, The Godfather, Saving Private Ryan, Braveheart, Star Wars, Pulp Fiction is one of the greatest movies of all time. Shawshank Redemption.
He doesn't really like
wow.
Tarantino, though, to be fair, although he apparently hasn't watched
it. Have you seen Rain Man?
I have not seen Rain Man, no. That did not make the dance, though. This is just 16. Top 16 seeds, 4 number one seeds.
Well, as usual, your decision making makes my head spin. Why wouldn't Rain Man be ahead of Memento? Oh, because of Chris Nolan.
Have you seen The Usual Suspects?
I might have.
That's his best answer of all.
You'll be able to.
Is that he's not sure if he's seen some movie.
I mean, that would be on there as well for me.
Somebody made me laugh the other day. They tweeted me, "Has Black Tie seen Casablanca?" I said, "Kev, are you kidding me?
He hasn't heard of
that." Made me laugh too.
Have you seen any Star Wars movies ever?
No, I don't want to see a Star Wars movie.
You are going to have to, because it's going to make the final four.
Wow.
So, we'll see.
Can you quote Casablanca?
I've seen Star Trek, if that counts.
Can you quote anything from Casablanca?
No chance. Maybe. I don't know.
Gone with the Wind? Have you ever seen that?
Oh, I've seen Gone with the Wind.
The Wizard of Oz?
Yes, I've seen Wizard of Oz. I was scared of it quite a bit. I've seen King and I.
Out recently that Black Tie went as a child to medieval times, and he thought they were really killing each other.
I thought it was legit. I was like 6, and no one in my family, you know, pulled me aside to tell me, like, this is not real.
Why are we eating at Game of Thrones?
Well, if you were 6 and you thought people were killing each other and no one corrected you on that, why did you just sit there and watch it then for the next 2 hours?
Because I couldn't peel away. You know, it was entertaining, but I really thought people were going to die.
Entertaining.
It was. I'm a human being, I guess.
And Handsome spent his first few months in the U.S. of A. castrating calves on a farm in Paris, Kentucky.
We don't need to go back into
these are the things that we've dug up. In the off-season.
The off-season. Can you guess what the one movie on here I haven't seen is? I'll give you, if you can guess, I'll buy you lunch.
Oh, okay.
There's one I haven't seen.
Single movie but one.
Yeah, but one. But there's one I haven't seen. I will buy lunch to anyone who can get it on the first guess.
All right, let's try. If I guess it, that means, because I committed to watching the final four. But if I guess this right, I can duck one.
No.
Oh,
you
so
guess
you
it right,
to...
I'll watch the one.
I'm going to put a check next to my choice.
This
is interesting. I can't wait to hear what the answer is here.
I am going to go with... This is interesting. I am going to go with Alien.
Interesting. Fabs?
Wow. This is a tough one, man. Whew. I'm going to go with Memento.
I went Alien as well.
You two were right.
Wow. You never saw Alien?
I don't like scary movies.
I can see that.
On that. I'm with you.
That movie came out in 1979. I mean, Handsome's barely alive at that point. He's in the UK.
I've had plenty of opportunities to watch it, but I wouldn't do it.
Really?
I don't like that kind of movie.
I don't like getting scared in movies either. I don't understand the... I don't know
why people like horror movies.
I love it.
Horror movies.
I love it, man.
What is the good thing about going... Right. Why do you want to get spooked? Because you feel something. All right, well then I like to feel being happy. How about that?
Exactly.
I like to laugh at a movie. I like it to be exciting.
I don't like to feel fear.
I don't mind being nervous. Like, what's going to happen? And then the good guys win or something.
But
I think
that's the best part of it, is being on that roller coaster.
There's an enough to have nightmares
It's not real.
The world isn't awful enough without having things piled on to really spook you.
We're not 10 years old and worried that Freddy Krueger is real. We know that it's all fake.
At the time, that doesn't matter. Like, you know, there'll be a nice moment where it's like, okay, phew, and then suddenly someone will jump out with
a carving knife. So you've never seen the original Halloween?
No, I've never watched. They're like 500
Such
horror movies
great,
you're about to name that I would
movie.
I
haven't
you know
watched.
What? I recently watched The Shining and
great movie.
The Shining's I have watched, cuz it's not so much horror as it is suspense.
Yeah, well, the thing in The Shining though that jumped out at me the last go through, Scatman Crothers in his apartment has the greatest artwork hanging in his bedroom. He has those two topless women.
Exactly, in the hotel.
Without any acknowledgement of it, other than that they're just there as he's watching TV.
Yeah.
This is one of the great things.
That is awesome.
But I don't understand. The point is, when you watch a scary movie, Then you go back and it torments you in your dreams.
No, it doesn't. I want to go to a movie and see if it actually will scare me, because I've been on paranormal investigations in the dark where I couldn't see
I think we're about to hit something else. Being on a paranormal investigation. Yes, what's that mean?
It is
for what?
Awesome.
Who hired you to do that?
It is no. I went back home to Connecticut. I have a friend of mine, an old schoolmate from grammar school.
Fantasy football, and I'll find your ghost for you too.
And there's a place in Derby, Connecticut, where my mother lives and has been her whole life, where it's called the Sterling Opera House, and it's allegedly haunted. And so a buddy of mine got me in there with five or six other people, and there's a old jail cell down at the bottom, and everything's all dilapidated. It was great. You're just going around with EVPs trying to
with what? Isn't that what Ghostbusters had? Like,
you're looking for EVPs, so you have like this machine here that you hold out and see if there's any electromagnetic field that you're picking up, because the building has no electricity at all. So the idea is that if it picks it up, then there's something. I don't know if I'm a true believer. I guess I'm a skeptical believer in that kind of stuff, but I think it's fascinating.
So what did you find?
I didn't find anything. Nothing happened that night, but it was awesome. Like, I would be the first one to sign up to go and investigate like an insane asylum that's been
down. You know what?
That would be awesome.
We put Fabiano with an NFL football player, and they do it together. That would be a great
feature. I would love it. I would love
it. That would be awesome.
Let's do that.
Paranormal investigation with Michael Fabiano
and Greg Olsen.
And Greg Olsen.
I have you as my, you want to talk about scary Greg Olsen, you're my third rated tight end. That'd be a good bit.
I'm just a fan of it. I think it's fascinating.
All right. Last thing that we have to do. Do you have any rules changes you'd like to throw out, Fabiano?
Is there a rule that they can change to make Des Bryant's catch count and the Cowboys win that game?
You know, well, yeah, they are. That's one of
that's
the rules
gotta,
that they're looking at.
And that one is
it can't be retroactive, though.
You know what is a
that's
legitimate
a fantasy
one?
Football killer, too. How many people lost and won games based on that stupid rule?
I am in the vast minority on this. Oh, one other one I've thought about for the kicking thing, just because it would be funny to watch, is I think that when they move the goalposts back behind at the back of the end zone for player safety, I think it's high time they move it back to the goal line, just because of what it would create as an obstacle for the running game. The advantage to the offensive team, if you got down to the goal line, how didn't you score on every single attempt? Because if you have, as a defense, if you have to contend with the goalpost, then why wouldn't the quarterback just line up directly in front of the goalpost and just run at it? Because if you hit the goalpost, it's a touchdown. The defender can't make the goalpost disappear. It's an unstoppable play. I think it'd be funny to watch guys use it as a pick and run into it and all that kind of stuff.
I still can't believe that there's not more bloopers out there from way back when running routes and just boink.
If you ever get a chance to see the bloopers, in the early 50s, one of the seminal rules changes was to get away from, because football was becoming really, really violent in the early 50s, because the rule was that it wasn't enough if a guy was running and you tripped him and he stumbled and fell down, now he's down in the NFL. Back then, you had to tackle him and get him on the ground. So it wasn't enough to be in his vicinity and shove him and he falls down. You have to basically have him down on the ground. So the old highlights are hysterical to watch. The guy gets knocked to the ground and then he tries to get back up and three or four guys just jump on top of him. It's fantastic stuff, but it started to get to be so gruesome that they abandoned that, and then it became more exciting for people to look at that. But as far as that goes, the college rule is the one I like better. I like when you're down, you're down. You shouldn't be able to get back up.
One knee is down.
If you dive for a football and it takes you to the ground and you catch it clean, you can get back up and keep running. I don't like that. You should be down.
But if you're not touched by a defender,
why do you not like that?
Because it's clean to me somehow that way. I don't like those plays that you see when the guy catches it and he rolls into the end zone, and or there's that delayed kind of like, oh, I have time to get back up and I'm going to keep running.
But
just
the defender didn't do anything.
I just aesthetically am not a fan
okay,
of that move.
Aesthetically, is that just that's not a good enough reason.
I like it. He's down. All right, next play. There's no gray area. That's what we're all after, isn't it? Don't we want clarity?
But no one's clarity. Worried about clarity on that front. It's like if you get touched by a defender and you get down, then you're down. If you just fall over, then you can get back up again.
I know. Well, I also I wish.
What if a quarterback, stumbled in the backfield and you know gets on his knee and then is he sacked?
Yeah.
By your rules, yes.
Yeah, that's the rule.
That's ridiculous.
It's the highest standard. If you hit the ground, then you're down.
But you got to hit the ground by being touched by a defender.
Well, the other big rules change that I've said many times is, you really want to fix kicking? Make it so that it's not a specialty item that you bring in somebody who has nothing to do with football but can swing his leg 3 or 5 times a day and boot it through the uprights with ridiculous accuracy compared to his predecessors at the position. Return it to its roots. You have to play 5 downs from the line of scrimmage to be eligible to kick a field goal or extra.
It's kind of like other sport where the players on the field take set pieces. I won't name the sport because I can't. But you know,
you are invoking it. The rule isn't that you're not allowed to talk about soccer.
Say the name.
Yeah, you're talking about soccer.
Rule
isn't you can't say the word soccer. It's you can't talk about.
I'm gonna let you off this time, but the next time I'm gonna cut off. I'm gonna cut the pants off or the leg.
There's no standing rule that I'm not allowed to talk about hockey. And that rule will never happen on this show.
Well, I'm just saying I could be talking about hockey. I didn't say I was talking about.
I know, because I love the set pieces in NHL hockey. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Set pieces.
Elimination chamber.
There we go.
Welcome to your first ever elimination chamber, Michael Fabiano.
We haven't had enough football talk on this, so let's do that. Let's do former stars in new places.
By the way, Black Tie never told us what his first job was.
Oh, we'll get to that.
This is it. That's why we're getting this kind of production.
Such a hate. All right, so former stars in new places. Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, Reggie Bush, and what's the last guy I had? I had him here a second ago. Dwayne Bowe, eliminate one.
Where Dwayne Bowe
just
went
to the Browns.
Cleveland.
Oh, he signed with the Browns, did he? I somehow missed that. Well, I mean, it comes down to the last two for me. I don't think there's much. It seems like Andre Johnson and Frank Gore have landed in a pretty nice situation there. I'll start with you, Handsome Hank.
As much as it pains me, because if you're a listener who heard my stories about me and my time with Reggie Bush and his ex-girlfriend, but it pains me to say it, but I think Reggie Bush's time up. It's pretty sad to me. Everyone remember when he was drafted and everyone thought Reggie Bush was going to be the next coming of who knows what? And
Hell
then it just never quite worked out for him. And I can't imagine that in San Francisco, where Carlos Hyde is going to be, you know, maybe one of your featured backs. I just can't imagine him really making that much of an impact. I think it's coming to an end.
Well, it is always, to me, endlessly fascinating. And what was that? The '07 draft, I guess. Vince Young, Reggie Bush, and Mario Williams. No, it was, that was the big debate. And two of those three completely wash out. I guess I can't
Matt
say Reggie Bush.
Completely washed out, who was also in that draft, but Reggie Bush hasn't completely washed out.
And that was
out.
Charlie Casserly with Houston going with Mario Williams.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Kudos
our very
to him.
Own.
Go ahead, Fabiano. Well, you have to eliminate one.
You
and it's
know me. I'm always thinking fantasy, and Dwayne Bowe is just a bum, man. I mean, what happened to him? He had that one big year with the Chiefs. He was one of the two best wide receivers in fantasy football. I think it might have been, as you like to say, '09. It was somewhere around there. I think Brandon Lloyd was the number one receiver that year. I could be mistaken.
Yoy.
But, with the Broncos. But now he goes to Cleveland, and boy, the quarterback upgrade there is great from Alex Smith to Josh McCown. My goodness gracious. Now, Dwayne Bowe, he is dead to me in fantasy, that's for sure.
Black Tie, hit the elimination chamber. I have one now.
Elimination chamber.
We talked about it the other day. I announced the AFC East is not jive. The greatest thing for all of the nice things you can say about Belichick and Brady, the greatest thing they've had going for them is that they get to play in that bum division year after year after year. Maybe one of those three teams rises up to pose some sort of a challenge, but they really have had as easy a ride to the postseason as any team.
I got to hit the song again because you haven't gotten to it.
This year, though, I feel like the signings by the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins, all good, sound moves. The Patriots have come back to the pack ever so slightly.
Start it again.
Dolphins, Bills, Jets, Patriots, Elimination Chamber. Fabiano,
how
say you?
Jack, there you go.
Wow. Eliminate one of those four teams. I can't eliminate the Patriots even though they lost both of their great corners.
That would be ridiculous.
You can't do that. I'm going Jets. Out.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Jets. Who's their quarterback?
Well, I mean,
you'd say that about the Bills, too.
Same thing about the Bills.
I know, but their defense is wicked, and they got LeSean McCoy.
I got news for you. The Jets' defense is going to be great, too.
I know what your answer is. This is all a setup. So
it is not.
I
really
might as well forward to you saying the Dolphins.
You know how I don't like jive talk.
Yep.
This is not jive. I don't know what my answer is yet.
Okay. I'm going to say I really like the Bills' defense more than I like the Jets' defense. It's going to be the Jets I'm eliminating.
That is true that I like. I think Rex Ryan. If you go back through the history in the free agency era, new coach plus a big swath of new guys coming in that are expected to immediately make an impact on a new team, there's not a history of great success doing that. So I don't mean to be a buzzkill to the people that are excited in Jets town and Bills town and everywhere else, but when you turn things over on that level, it doesn't generally yield a playoff spot for you. I think Rex Ryan, though, is the exception. I think that old school fun guy will provide an extra win or two for that team. So the Bills aren't going to be my answer. I know that much. Black Tie, give me your answer.
I'm going to go with the Bills. Yeah.
Right. So what you're saying is that they're going to be the last place team.
Yeah. I mean, end of the day, you need a quarterback, especially in that division. So I'm going to go with the Bills. If what's his name?
Castle or the Amish Rifle, who's worse?
That's rough.
Oh, I think Geno Smith's going to win that gig in New York.
I don't know, man.
If he's on the roster, unless they get Mariota.
He might win it, but keep in mind that everywhere the Amish Rifle goes, he starts.
Right.
Houston,
Bucky
Tennessee.
Brooks.
Last year, he just starts everywhere he goes.
Bucky
Buffalo.
Brooks, who, by the way, will be back with us. Scout Supreme will be back on DDFP with us at some point next week. And we will also get to the Greg Rosenthal Patriots fan, and we'll go back through history, recent history, back to second down at the goal line in the Super Bowl, and we'll ask, what if Marshawn Lynch had gotten the ball there and scored a touchdown? What then would the Patriots look like, and what would the Seahawks look like if that game had been flipped upside down, if the result? I think things would look quite different. We'll get into both of those later on, but Bucky did convince me that convinced me on Geno Smith and his ability to succeed with Chan Gailey, because Chan Gailey has done great work with QBs almost everywhere he's gone. And Brandon Marshall plus Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley. I mean, that's a real, collection of receivers there.
Yeah. They improved their offensive talent. There's no question about that. But it all goes through the quarterback. And, Chan Gailey's had success in the past with quarterbacks, although I do remember him coaching the Cowboys.
I didn't say head coach. Some guys get out of their depth. Some guys are
right.
Some guys, their highest level should be coordinator. Some guys just don't have it in them to be the leader of the whole thing. Guys are better on one side.
You can also make an argument that Eric Decker has never been anything without Peyton Manning. And Brandon Marshall started to show signs of breaking
down. Jeremy Curley is Jeremy Curley.
I'll tell you what, though.
And their running back.
I'll tell you what, you didn't mention their best asset is going to be Jason Morrow. That's a guy, their tight end is someone I think I can believe in. But the other guys, I mean, who cares?
Well,
not 2009.
It really is interesting when you go through it to try and figure out who. I mean, there doesn't seem to be an almost. There are very few exceptions. You can go through the last 25 years and go through each division standing that you want to year by year. Very rarely is there no bum team in the division. It really is hard to find four good teams.
Who's going to be the bad team? There's not a slam dunk crummy team.
It's your turn. We're not going to help you with it. We've told you who we think the bad team is.
I'm going to go with the Jets. I think the Bills have all sorts of firepower. I think that Ryan Tannehill is quietly pretty good. They purge. I don't know how big a cancer Mike Wallace could have been in the locker room, but he was a bad fit.
Regardless of how big a cancer he was, I don't think any of us are ever going to get to the bottom of that. But he wasn't a particularly productive player.
And
right?
I think part of the reason why they get rid of him is Jarvis Landry looked good.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you what. If Gronkowski, the Jenga piece, the biggest Jenga piece in the NFL, non-quarterback thing, if you take him out of it, the whole thing collapses. Rob Gronkowski, injury-prone as he is, now without Darrell Revis on the other side, man, I'll tell you, if Gronk gets banged up and misses any amount of time, that could be a last-place team. I know it's crazy, who's bad? And here's the other thing.
No, hey.
6 games against the Bills defense, the Jets defense, and Ndamukong Suh and Cam Wake. And Brent Grimes?
Anything's possible in the NFL.
I thought anything's possible. These are all likelihoods. If you look at them individually, if you look at each team in a vacuum, each of those 3 teams, you'd say, all right, the quarterback could be better on 2 of them, certainly. But overall, those are 2 pretty good teams.
If you had real stones, you'd have said the Patriots then.
I know. And yet I have no stones because maybe a young handsome Hank and his English friend accidentally removed mine when they were castrating calves. In Paris, Kentucky. All right, last thing we have to do, Black Tie, is you have to come in here and do your, let's see if you can smile for 2 straight minutes.
Well, that's great audio.
Oh, no, we'll put the video out.
Yeah. Here, I can live stream it right now.
Yeah, we're going to live stream it.
We'll do that at the end of the show, but before that.
It's the end of the show.
Yeah, but before that, speaking about shout-outs.
All right.
It's time for Black Tie shout-outs.
I like to give a shout-out to. I just
want to
give a shout out.
All right, we're back 2 weeks in a row.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I love Black Tie shout outs.
Well, here's the one for this week. Gas stations. Workers at the gas station. So I grew up in Nigeria. So that's a country where you don't fill up your tank yourself. You know, you drive through the gas station, you know, you have to
pay. They don't have self serve.
I feel
that's like Jersey.
Like still, I know. Jersey,
I like that. That was so great in hindsight. I remember pulling. Yeah, back when I was growing up, they would come and fill it up.
Yeah, it was so strange. Because that's where I started my career here. Was
why did that happen? Did they not trust you to fill it up yourself?
I don't know, but Jersey was always
not complicated, is it?
No,
it's just a law. Just like how you can't take left turns in Jersey.
Wonder if that was because cigarettes were more ubiquitous, and so then if you're burning nails while you're pumping the gas,
that's problematic.
Yeah, it's problematic. Yeah. But either way, I'm not even going to give it to those guys.
Well, then I'm glad we started with the gas.
I know, just teeing it up.
I got
But you know, especially in LA, you know, gas prices, they change quite often. You ever wonder how they change? Well, I do. And there was one day I was driving. I was driving home from a movie. I don't remember what movie
I assume
I
it has something to do.
Oh, I watched the Focus movie with Will Smith. That was a movie I watched. I'm driving home, and I see the gas
prices. Didn't have time for The Godfather, but you did have time for Focus.
Margot Robbie, man.
Yeah, well, that's reason enough to see that movie.
Up there. So I'm driving home, and I see the gas prices changing. And that's what
someone. Well, in real time, like you saw them actually changing. Wow.
Well, yeah. Someone was on a ladder all the way up top, right. Like physically changing.
It wasn't the digital one. It was a guy who got a stick.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 1 a.m. at night. And it's like, you know what? This is really yeoman's work because no one really could see it. I wasn't supposed to see it. So I'm going to give a shout out to those guys that changed the gas prices on Taos.
I've always wondered why do they have – that's all right. That's a decent shout out. Why is it always 9 – why is there always a 9 at the end of it? Or is it an 8? You know what I mean? When you see that,
good
it's
question.
A
question.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know the
– it's basically as close to the next dollar as you can get.
So it sounds like
– So it oh, sounds
it's,
like
– No,
three,
no, no. It's
under
not like
–
It's only $2.99.
I agree that if something costs $9.99, it's more appealing than $10. I get that.
Right.
This isn't that, though. It has an 8. It's inexplicable. I'm sure it's explicable.
It's explicable.
If I were to
ask someone to explain it to me.
We're going to have to Google that.
Black All right, Black. You know what? I saw a similar thing, I think. When we're in Indy for the Combine, there's a movie theater downtown. And obviously, same idea. You know, they probably have to change those things. It was one of those old school ones where it's fixed on. Mm-hmm. Your favorite movie of this year, 50 Shades of Grey. It was like minus 22 outside or something. It's really cold.
Did you really see
Not
that?
Not favorite movie, but favorite movie soundtrack.
You saw it?
I did.
The fact that it's...
And you didn't
the
see The Godfather?
That's... Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
But they had spelt 50 Shades of Grey wrong. It said something like... Maybe like 50 Shades of Grey was spelt wrong or something like that. But it was so cold, you could see the guy got down off his ladder, put it down, and then someone went, "Hey, Steve... you spelled gray wrong," and he was like, "I'm not getting back up there. Too cold. We'll just leave it. No one will know."
All right, Black Tie, you've been able to stall for only a few minutes, but now it's time to see if you can do it. Last
I
shout
can't
out.
Do it. That's why I gave a shout out.
Well,
to
but
him.
We're gonna see if you can try
no
to
chance.
Do it. Black Tie, get in here and cut it out. Don't play games.
I gotta produce a show here, guys. I know what you guys are doing. I'm working.
You have a friend back there. I see.
Brandon, yeah. Brandon, yeah. We're all here doing the show together. That's
all right. Come on out here. It's time to do it. Black Handsome has tweeted it out.
I haven't yet.
We'll do it after the show. We'll do it after the show. But, yeah, let's sign off
here.
Wait,
All right. So we're going to shoot it after the
show. After the
show.
That's right. And that's going to be on social media as well as the bracket, which I already tweeted out.
Okay, great.
So we can get the final four.
Okay, great. All right, so we will. So we'll do that, and then there will be video for you. Tweet it out at some point soon. Black Tie, seeing if he can hold a smile for two straight minutes. It is sure to be spellbinding.
Or maybe not.
Talk about watching a movie. That's the movie I want to see.
Yeah.
And Black Tie needs to see Forrest Gump. All right, we'll be back with Fabiana. Who's your number one team? Who's winning it all?
In the brackets. I mean, Kentucky.
I went with Notre Dame. They almost lost. I have no
They haven't. About they haven't lost the game. I got to go Kentucky.
All right. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce next week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.